You guys hear the music?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Fuck yeah. Love it. Love it. Leo,
we gotta let the beat drop here.
Right here. I've been waiting my whole life to hear Liam say he can hear it.
I can hear it, man.
Right? There! Oh! Uh-huh. Liam, doesn't that just make you want to, like, punch holes in the concrete or walls or whatever? And
I've got a road here next to me. It's not safe. After hearing that, I'm going to go crack it just for... I just can't not.
Are you out in the middle of a farmer's field or what? This.
Yeah, pretty well.
Show us what we're looking at here. Show us what we're looking at here.
I got a pole to lift. I'm in the middle. There's a house here.
Oh my God.
My friends are over there. Pretty good. Pretty good setup.
First time in the history of On the Throne is, you know, we've had teenagers on for one. And for two, like, in the middle of a field, like, I'm interrupting a bush party right now. This is great.
That's the thing about, I guess I'm just the most redneck guy you've had on here. I'm out in the middle of nowhere, eh?
Oh, I don't know you've had the, I don't know if you're the most redneck person I've had on the podcast. Settle down now. I think, shit, who would be the most redneck person I've had on the podcast?
I'm not sure.
Oh, fucking Dirty Prescott kids, man. I think Travis would give you a good run for your money.
I think it'd be close. It'd be a close fight.
Let me turn this air conditioning off in this hotel room.
I always said, Dick, before I ever came back on your pod, I was going to listen to all of the beginnings, because you always say, oh, some people can't hear it. And I was going to have stats. I was going to bring and spit cold facts. And before I knew it, I was back on your show and I hadn't done that yet.
That's all right. You got all the time in the world now, man. You got all the time in the world. You're not retired, but I mean, like, you got all the time.
I got some time.
Yeah, man. So anyway, welcome back, guys, to another episode of On the Throne with Dick. And shout out to Senjin Boychuk, Liam. Liam, you got to be a part of it, man. Well, shout out to Senjin Boychuk. You know? Love that guy. Find him everywhere on the socials, you know. And fucking this week, man, you know, I'm. It's bittersweet. It's bittersweet for me, you know. We talk about Gord in the Second Act podcast all the time, and you know, we're here. He's decided to pull the plug and the curtains go down, or they, whatever they call them. And we, you know, it's his final act.
Yeah. We've had a good run. We're 160 episodes deep. You know, Liam's here with us. He was a part of, I don't know, 120 or 30 of them. Was a lot of fun for a long time, but it's just not, the payoff isn't there. We're busy with other things. I mean, when we started this, Liam was in like middle school, and now he's going into grade 12, and he doesn't have time to always help us or hold his phone straight when we're trying to see what's going on and life's busy. So we've decided we've had a good run at 160, and we're gonna put a pin in it for now, I guess, to use the corporate culture.
You guys made it further than 98% of podcasts. You know what I mean? Like, isn't that wild? You know, you're pulling the pin at 160 and you've made it further than 98% of other podcasts make it. That's wild to me.
Well, the thing about that I like, and to put it in like blue collar vernacular, you know, for oil field, like most consultants don't retire. The phone just quits ringing. Eventually they find themselves just out of work. Nobody wants to pay them what the going rate for a consultant is as they get older. But there are guys that see the writing on the wall and just walk away from it. And I feel like we're doing that. I feel like we could still keep going. We had people that were interested in coming on the show, but I wasn't doing it justice anymore. Liam hasn't been a part of the last 15 or 20 episodes due to the activity level in his life. I've been there, man.
You know, Liam, dude. Okay, I wasn't gonna bring it up now, but like it feels like the perfect time. Dude, when I first started listening to your dad's podcast, he sung like this, man. It was so crazy. Growing, like, you know, like, hey, and then it went, hi, I'm Liam, and you know, like, yeah, welcome back to the Second Act podcast, ladies and gentlemen. You know, and I was like, dude, who is that kid? You know.
Well, that's the cool thing for me is I go back and listen to those first episodes and it's a completely different person almost, right? I don't it's me, but you hear it, and then I hear my own voice on the same playback, and it's completely different.
Man, dude, you gotta be proud of, you know, that. I know, I bet your dad thinks of it as like father son bonding time, man. Like, do you look at it the same way? Because, you know, like, I want to start getting my kids involved in my podcast, sort of like, you know, he had you involved in his, you know, like that's, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of unleashed. Let's say unleashed. It's unleashed a beast within me, you know, like
I mean, it was definitely bonding time for sure to sit down and even just like, it was a craft of almost love, I want to say, especially with those early episodes where I remember for the first, 60 episodes, there was a just clip at the end of every podcast, and you can still go back and listen to them, of me screwing up or testing the mic. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it's just a clip of me, and it carried, and it was really funny to go listen to the intro of a podcast where my voice sounds like it does now. And of course that clip was taken 5 years ago at this point, and it's a completely different sound, and you hear both voices in the same video, or in the same podcast. It's kind of crazy to listen to. So I always kind of saw it as like a craft of love and something that I really like. And I, for the longest time, I really, really enjoyed doing it. And, you know, just even after we would be done recording, my dad would give me a compliment on something that was like the way I had said something or a point that I had brought up. And it was really, obviously it's nice for a teenager to get his father's approval. And it was a great way to do so. I really enjoyed it.
Hell yeah. How do you prove those honeys that he's hanging out with now? Hey, you know, like Liam, the stud, man, you're like a stallion over there, you know, like you got that. Look at that mane on you, brother. You know, like, dude, you got the jawline too. Like, look at you go, man. Like this, the jawline, the hair, you know, and
you say that over in the car right now is three dudes.
Whatever you're into, man. Whatever. Three dudes on the way to pick up three honeys, though, right? Come on. Gord, what did you get out of hanging out with Liam and doing the podcast? You know, like you said, you know, for a teenager to get dad's approval and, you know, have a bonding moment, you know, like you're not looking for his approval, right? But maybe something else.
Yeah, it was something that I did with him when, you know, I did a lot of things with him. I coached him in hockey and coached him in ball and been active in his life. I've been fortunate that my job's been allowed me to be a part of his life day in and day out. But this is something that they're never going to take away from us. It's on there for posterity. And to Liam's point, there was a lot of times when he would listen to a podcast and get something right out of left field that I didn't take out of it. And he'd bring it up in the intro and we get off the recording and I'd be like, really? Like, wow, that's cool. 'Cause I didn't see that at all. So it helped me kind of understand that, you know, he's a kid, he's my son, but he's a person, right? He sees things his own way. And I think it helped. I think it was a relationship strength versus anything that ever put any strain on it.
That's cool, man. I love that, man. Like I'm hoping, you know, to, you know, eventually get in, like I said, get into doing things with my daughters and adding them to the podcast way. And I'm hoping to, you know, maybe get that way. They're a little young right now to maybe pull kinds of points of view out of it for that. But, and maybe I don't want them to listen to certain things on the podcast, but, you know, just kind of add in, add in like little, like, hey, welcome back, you know, to another episode of On the Throne with Dick. That's my dad. Shit like that, you know? And I think that'd be really cool, man. And, you know, I got to give a shout out to you guys, man. 'Cause honestly, I had the honor of, you know, being a part of the podcast once. And or twice? Was it twice? I don't know. I was on
twice, once. Yeah.
Twice? Was I on twice?
Yep. Yes, sir.
I was on the first time anyway, 120 episodes ago, which is insane. Around there anyway. And yep. I was always kind of looking around, skipping around and just talking about starting my own podcast, right? But never really knowing where to go from there. And then, you know, once I got on yours, right, and kind of, hey, man, I can talk. I can talk, I can do this, right? And, you know, then I started, you know, me and someone else started our own thing. And then, you know, from there it was like, not only can I talk, but I know how to do this, right? So in a lot of ways, you know, the second act was kind of where I was able to, you know, kind of find my voice and discover that I want to do that for sure.
So if I'm right, you're saying the second act podcast almost helped you find the second act of your life.
Oh, Liam, you dirty dog, you. Yeah. And in some ways, for sure. Why not?
It's a really cool thing. It's cool to hear that because that's what our show was all about. And I say ours because it really was. I mean, I was the one on the mic for the bulk of it, but I had to carve time out. My kids had to be quiet. They had to stay off the internet on, you know, it was really, and you know, God bless my wife. I think she listened to probably the first 30 or 40. And then she was like, okay, there's just too much every week. I can't keep up. So I tell her, hey, you might like this one. And she'll listen in and be like, man, you're quite a bit better than the last one I listened to or whatever. And it's been a huge kind of growth thing for us to keep an eye on what we're doing. And, you know, I see Liam's getting pretty restless, so he may have to skedaddle here. But the one thing that I do want to say about it that I want to say when he's here, I want people to understand it is we used to record the intros on Google Meets. So he would just sit downstairs and I would sit upstairs and we'd record. And I still have all those recordings, every single one. They're not labeled, so they'd be an incredible pain in the ass to go through. But at the end of every one, I'd say, okay, are we good? And he'd say, yep. And as I was going to click the end of the call, he would say, love you, Dad. Mm-hmm. And so he's got probably, he was on 110 episodes. I've got 110 of those on my second act podcast account. Right.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, man. You gotta, as the guy gets older and things, you know, he's going to graduate high school next year and carry on with his life. And I look back on 160 episodes of the Second Act podcast, 110 or 20 that he was involved in directly. It was pretty worth it for all that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Liam. Sorry.
It's always really important to me to say I love you. And in the back of my mind, I knew that we were recording all of these and I knew he wasn't going to put any of them in, but just, like a part of me was like, he's going to go back and listen to it he's going to go back and listen to that I love you 3 or 4 times while he's chopping down the intro, right? It's just important.
Liam, I don't want to keep you from hanging out with your friends, brother. So I just want to know one question I usually save for the end here, but it,
yes, I think the
beer end here, man. But you know, Mount Rushmore, man. I don't know if you listen to my podcast at all, but your dad has. And Mount Rushmore, man, if you had 4 people that you could look up to and maybe, you know, draw some inspiration from, real, not real, dead, alive, who would they be and why?
Mount Rushmore. You got to put my dad up there. I mean, that's just a token. But I think you also got to put my mom up there just because, like, I love them both equally. I think in terms of people I look up to, I think it's 1-2 interchangeably. I think that's just guaranteed. And then 3 and 4 is where it gets tricky because people I look up to is a weird one. I'd say another person I look up to in my 3 spot, I'm going to put my grandpa Jim. And it's just because of how much that man has triumphed through. I don't know if you know this, Dick, but he's been shot in the head, hit by a train. He's 6'1", probably closed in on 400 pounds there, just refuses to give up. He's getting leaner. He's learning new words. He's a really just a trooper of a man. And I really, whenever I find myself lacking a little bit of courage, I do think about all the shit that he's gone through and how minuscule my problems are compared to that.
Damn.
And then my fourth spot, it could go to so many different people. I think who it's going to have to go to is my 8th grade social studies teacher, Park Roberts, Mr. Roberts. I, from the young age, I always kind of was like, I want to go into teaching. I want to be a teacher. but he was the guy who really showed me what type of teacher I wanted to be and how I wanted to structure it and the way I wanted to teach my students and stuff. All those things I hadn't really thought about before. And then I was taught by him and I'm like, this is how I want to be. This is the teacher I want to be perceived as. I think that's gotta be my top four of like role models and idols.
So you're going to school or whatever to become a teacher? That's it. That's your goal. You're becoming
that's
a teacher.
That's the plan, Dick. That's the plan.
That's awesome, man. Good for you. Good for you. Yeah. Those who can't do teach, right? So you know what I'm saying? Hey. And in the words of Jack Black, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't say it. Don't shoot the messenger.
All right.
No, that's awesome, man. Hey, bro, Liam, thanks for coming on, man. You know,
yeah, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you very much.
I appreciate, you know, a 17-year-old kid who's, you know, I've been there, man. There's shit to do, you know. There's windows to smash. There's, you know, things to do. Man, go out and tip cows and do whatever you got to do, brother. Thanks for coming on, man. Hey, and you stay frosty.
I will. Thank you very much.
Man. Well, that was chaos.
Gord, man, Gord. He said you, man. You're number one on his Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. I would have been surprised if I didn't make the list. and I mean, like his mom and I live out in Alberta. We all live out in Alberta. The rest of our family's still back in Saskatchewan. We've been a four-person team since day one. Well, a three-person team till Lara was born and then a four-person team. So the idea that his mom would be on that list is not surprising. The idea that his grandfather, whose story I told the first time I was on, was on there. As he gets older and he starts to understand the things that dad's, you know, had to persevere through, I think that doesn't surprise me. When he was hanging on to that fourth spot there, I had no idea where he was going to go. And then when he said it, it was the only place that he could have gone with that. Mr. Roberts was such an inspiration. And Mr. Roberts doesn't teach anymore. He got fed up with all the stuff that goes on with, you know, the government defunding education and the parents who aren't going to take any responsibility for anything that happens with their children. And he said, I've got other skills. I'm going to go do something different. And I remember the last parent teacher interview, we went into Mr. Roberts' class and we told Liam, like, you should tell Mr. Roberts, you know, what he means to you. And so Liam did. And Mr. Roberts was like, oh no. Like you don't want to become a teacher. And Liam's like, yeah, I do. And it's because of you. And he looked at us and was like, I am so sorry. He's like, this is not what I signed up for at all. In fact, I'm leaving after this year to go do something different. You know, Liam was in grade eight, so he didn't grasp the totality of it. And Deanne's worked in the school, she's not a teacher, but she's worked in schools for the last 10 years. And she was like, nah, I can see it. Yeah. Good people are opting out to go do other things because of the way that the education system's being treated. And he never wavered. He knows what he wants to do. He thinks he can make a difference. He wants to be in that, you know, middle school kind of social studies and phys ed. He wants people to be aware of what's going on around them, like politics and society, and he wants them to be healthy. And I, you know, what a grade eight social studies and gym teacher. What a better way. What a better way to you know, take some pride in what you do every day.
Is he your smartest kid or the dumbest kid? And I mean, I'm going somewhere with this, right? Not to say any of your kids are dumb, but which one is the smartest and which one is not the smartest? Because you're only as good as your dumbest kid, right? If one wins the Nobel Peace Prize and one gets robbed by a hooker, then you failed, right? Like,
yeah. So both of them are always on the honor roll. Lara works much harder to get on the honor roll. Liam coasts into an 85 with the slightest amount of work. He could be a 95. Lara scraps to an 85. Lara is definitely the more savvy of the two, like 100%. She will, when we were in Rome, for Christmas a couple of years back, and she sniffed out all the tourist traps from a mile away. So I guess to answer your question, I would probably say naturally gifted. Liam's pretty smart. Yeah.
You didn't have to answer that, man. Like I would have been like, no, well, my kid's pretty smart, you know, like, no. It was It was a joke. Hey, Flara and Liam, we can listen back to this or when they do or whatever. You guys, your dad loves you and like he doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. I say that all the time. It's like when somebody asks you, what's your favorite podcast episode? You definitely have one. You just can't say it aloud.
What is your, now that the end is here though, now that the final act, the curtain is drawn on the final act, what was your favorite episode?
I don't know that I have a specific favorite, but I'll tell you the coolest person that I interviewed was Daryl James. He's the bass player from the Strumbellas. I Got Guns in My Head and I Won't Go. Serious Hits One band. And he never even wanted to be a musician, let alone a bass player, let alone a bass player in a pop band. He was going to be a hockey player. He was a junior hockey player. He got done doing that. And he fumble farted his way into being a musician. And he's got a side project that does the music that he loves. He loves Strumbellas. It's made a great living for him. Yeah. But he was just the coolest guy. He was so rad. When he came for Stampede, he like shot me a note and said, hey, I know you're in Calgary. I'm in Calgary. Let me know if you need tickets to the Wild Horse. You know, you can come down and meet the band. And I was out of town, wasn't able to do it. He was the coolest guy. And let's like, you know, I'm going to humble brag a little bit here. Let's not forget that I had Brad Robbins from the Crash Test Dummies on, Paul Langlois from the Tragically Hip. I had Rick the Temp on. I had some like heavy hitting, cool people. Robin Regeer came on and talked about winning Stanley Cups in LA. And Daryl James was really cool. There was a lady named Jenny Ketchum who is on the Hub. If you go on and search Penny Flame on the Hub, you'll see her. And I saw her on Dr. Jupinski, and she was like, yeah, I like to tell my story about how I went from being a adult film star to a psychotherapist. So I reached out to her and she got back to me right away. And she sent me a bunch of photos to use for the cover and advertising. And they were fine. They looked like a regular person. And when the camera clicked on to record, she had her hair up in a messy bun. She was wearing glasses and she had a Def Leppard tour shirt on. and because I never went on the Hub to see her before. I wanted to, you know, do the episode. And then I went and confirmed that she's on there. And my wife was with me. I was like, just come here. I just need to make sure this person is who she says she is, you know, and we did. And I was like, oh yeah, like this chick definitely has that thing that makes people, you know, want to see her naked. Right. And she was still, you know it when you see it. That's it's right. Like it's one of those things. And she like came on and she was so unabashed about her. And she was said it like, she's like, it's all out there. Like I can't lie about it. Like when I go and take my kids to soccer, like I can be bashful about it, but I wasn't being bashful when I was doing it. So why would I do it now?
Yeah.
And then there was just a whole bunch of really cool ones where like I had a guy, and I'm going to miss names up and I apologize, but like I had a guy that he just drives around and like photographs all these old like farm buildings in Southern Alberta. And
I like that episode.
Yeah. Really, he finds the stories behind them. And you know, like it's just, there's so many interesting stories, and like you find it too, because you see somebody who's a social media creator and you reach out to them and they're like, yeah, I'll talk about, you know, my YouTube channel or whatever. And then you get talking to them and you just start finding out all these incredible things. And the best part about it for me was I used to go in with like, I would do all this research on people and I'd have like 2 pages of scripted notes to work off of. And at the last, I don't know, a couple of years, like I would go in with their name and like a star that says, are you recording? You know, like that kind of stuff, because it was all about the conversation. It was just about getting to know somebody. They're going to be gracious enough to give me an hour of their time. Let's see what we can see.
Yeah, no, dude, 100%, man. Like I don't ever go in with show notes or like anything. I know that this person is interesting. I know this person's blue collar, and that's all I need, right? That's all I need. I want to learn about this person at the same time everyone else is. And it just, a lot of the times it's just let's wing it and let's it goes how it goes, you know? And I've only ran into the problem maybe two times where it was just like, holy shit, like I don't know how far I can take this episode. You know what I mean? Like there's only one where I recorded and just straight up couldn't use, right? Like they wouldn't give me anything. Right. Mm-hmm. And we're half an hour in and I'm like, I don't know how we made it this fucking far, you know? And yeah, man, it was, yeah. And that was, I wasted all of our times that day. So, yeah.
I had a couple like that, and I have one that's still sitting in my inbox, the recording sitting there. And, he was a super interesting guy. He was just a terrible interview. And it was frustrating because I wanted to tell the story. Like he was a guy who worked like a 9-to-5er and he lived somewhere in New Jersey where there was lots of like musicians came through on tour. So he started going down and like interviewing them, and he turned like his life into this YouTube channel online persona of like meeting and not just heavy metal musicians, just every musician. And he's kind of like Nardwar, but not the shtick. He was kind of just himself. And it was a really cool story. And he was chasing what he loved, which is what our show was best at, was getting people to talk about what they loved. I could always tell when somebody hit the part they really wanted to talk about, they got a huge smile, their face lit up. And I was like, okay, this, you know, whether I have 10 minutes or 40 minutes left, I'm like, this is what we want to talk about. And I listened back to it and I was like, actually, I thought at one point I'd shared the link with you to tell you or to ask you if you would listen to see if it was worth posting. Because I listened back to it a handful of times and I was like, oh, this is just unusable.
You know, one of the best episodes I heard of yours was that guy, and I can't remember his name, but it was not all that long ago, where it was like the feather, the brick, and the truck.
Jeff Colez.
Yeah, man, that that episode fucking had a big impact on me in the last, you know, I'd say 5-6 months, right? When I was dealing with my mental health stuff and going through some of that shit and talking to my wife about it and talking to my therapist about it. I'm like, yeah, I heard it on a really good podcast, right? And to what you said, your wife only listened to a few. Yeah, my wife only listens when we're driving, and I put it on and I force her to listen. Right, like she's listened to a couple when she's had time, but for the most part, like I gotta be the one to be like, hey, yeah, you know, I'm gonna control the auxiliary cord today, you know, or the Bluetooth.
Yeah.
And, you know, there we go. She's like, and before she can even say it, she's like, no pod, and then it's podcast time. You know, like the trip to Ontario was great for that, you know.
Yeah, you didn't call shotgun.
No. And to what you said earlier, I want to back up a little bit, you know, to relate with you there, how, you know, you're from Saskatchewan, you live in Alberta. It's kind of just been you four, right? You've been the team of four. You know, my wife and I, we moved out when we were 18, 19 to BC, and then later to Saskatchewan before we were only in BC a little bit, and then to Saskatchewan and then to Alberta. And, you know, it was always just us two against the world, right? Like we didn't have any family. We didn't have nothing here. You know, it was, hey, I remember I'm in Saskatoon right now. And I remember, you know, Avenue G and 33rd when I lived over there, right at the top of the street on 33rd. There was a payphone, and I would have to walk there because we didn't have a house phone or a cell phone at the time. And I'd have to walk there to call my parents, or she'd have to walk there to call her parents. I have memories of, you know, it's New Year's Eve, on New Year's Eve, and it's minus 40 outside. But by golly, I'm going to walk to the payphone and I'm going to call my parents and I'm going to say Happy New Year, guys, you know, and talk to them in minus 40 at midnight at the top of on 33rd Street, you know. And that payphone's not there anymore. My wife and my kids just left. They were here for a little bit while I was working. And we took them for a tour, our kids for a tour down where we used to live and stuff. And yeah, then, you know, we became three, and then it was just the three of us and now four, right? Just the four of us, you know, and, you know, maybe add a fifth in there at some point, but not right now. So
that's a lot of kids, man. The world's built for four.
Dude, the world's built for four people or four kids?
Four people. Like when you go hotels, go to a restaurant, to a booth. Like the world's built for four.
The world's almost like it's built for that perfect family, right? The million-dollar family, right? It's, you two a boy, a girl, and mom and dad, right? And that's, you're absolutely right. It kind of is.
Yeah, well, I mean, we hummed and hawed, you know, but something that happened with us is right when we were pregnant with Lara, some friends of ours had a baby. And, I think Lara's the end of June. I think their little guy was born like March 15th. And at some point in between when Lucas was born and when Lara was born, the mom was up breastfeeding and he just turned blue. And they never did really find out why. It was just a thing. And they said, well, we would have just called it SIDS if you hadn't have been carrying him. And so it was that close to them losing their baby. And so when Lara came along and she was healthy and happy and we had to move, we actually put a move from White Court to Edson back from June 1st to August long weekend so that we could have Lara on June 30th. We were like, this is just, it's a lot. And we lived in Edson, which, you know, I don't think anybody really likes. I'm not even going to apologize. I'm not going to say, oh, sorry, if you're from Edson. It's like, no, nah, that place is fucking pits.
Shout out to
Edson. Shout out to who?
Shout out to the roadway.
Yeah. And so we just said that we're good with two. And, you know, we did our, took our precautions. And now that they're 17 and 15, and we're getting really close, right? Like Liam's in a year, he's going to be at least doing something different. Lara's, you know, she's a handful. I don't know what she's going to do. The one thing I know about her, she's going to be successful. I don't know what it's going to be, but yeah. her will to, when she does something, is second to none. And then it's like, and I talked about, I actually was on Jeff Kolez's podcast, I don't know, 3 months ago, shortly after he came on mine, and we talked, he asked me about like, what do you carry as stress? What do you think about these days? And I said, it's going to be what happens when my children aren't the day-to-day focal point of me and my wife's life. It's been for so long. That's what it's been. It's everything's gone around these two humans and they're going to go and carry on. And then they go, like they go and they want to try things. They want to move to New Zealand. They want to go to college somewhere far away when they could just go down the road. And you know, that's a huge change for us. And we're just in the midst of trying to understand what that looks like. And so right now, if I had a third child that was 11 or 12, that would be very comforting. I would love that very much.
Yeah.
I would be able to kind of, I don't want to say correct mistakes, but I would do a couple of things differently. And unfortunately, I don't know if unfortunately, the way that my life has gone is I don't have that. So I have a dog who's really well behaved. When we go to the dog park, everyone tells me, oh, what a great listener your dog is. And I'm like, oh, hey,
put that thing away.
Yeah. So, but that's how it's gone for us. And don't let the world being built for families of four, stop you from having a third child. If your family's not complete, that's what I say to people. Like,
absolutely.
It's not for me, but I'm not the one in your boots, right?
Absolutely. No, man, you know, we're trying. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I really want a son, but if I also, again, if I don't ever get a son, I get another daughter, hey, that's the way the shoe drops, right? I don't really care too much. But yeah, man, I, you know, my wife and I talked about that a lot, you know, the future, right? You know, I can't wait. I said it a lot a couple of years ago and not so much now because this is the season of life we're in, right? But I've been saying a lot in the past, I can't wait to have my living room back. You know, I can't wait to have my wife back, you know. Well, no, man. You know, we're enjoying each other. We're enjoying this avenue or this chapter of our life, right? Where you know, I've had to evolve that a little bit with that mentality and be like, no, man, I have my wife. I get to see my wife in many different forms over the course of our life, right? I got to have my wife when we were teenagers, right? That's one. I got to watch her evolve into a woman. I got to watch her evolve into my wife and watch her come into her own as a woman, as a person. And then I got to watch her, you know, work her ass off for us, her and I, right? And then yeah. I got to, you know, watch her carry a child and everything that entails. And then I got to watch her become a mother. And, dude, how she shows up for our family in different ways with that. And, you know, stay-at-home mom and how she's handling that. And, you know, she'll tell you straight up, fuck, it's not easy. But, you know, we need that, you know, right now in our life. And, you know, I can't wait to watch her evolve into something else next, right? So I do have my wife. I was saying I can't wait to have my wife back. No, I'm getting my wife in all different versions of her. And I love that. You know, I love that. I've come to appreciate it a lot more. So,
well, and it's something that, you know, the old, you don't know it's the good old days until they're gone.
Yeah.
But I think the world moves so fast now that we're all aware that the good old days are happening right now. And you know, like I listened to your solo show today, and there was a lot of like, a lot of really heartfelt stuff in there that kind of runs counter to your online persona. And I'm fortunate enough that you and I spend enough time conversations that none of it surprised me. None of it seemed contrived. And none of it, and all of it made sense with who I know who you are as a dude, as a dad, as a husband. And, you know, it's like you start to show that side of you when you do, especially a public life. I mean, are we announcing, like, are we announcing that you're like in your third 10 million total view month for the year? Like you're a superstar. I mean, it goes like Dana White, Jake Paul, Dickie Big Deal, right? That's how it goes. So you have all this, these people that are, that think they know you and they think they're a part of what you're doing. And then you throw something like that out at them and they go, oh, like this isn't real life. Like that's who Dick is. Right. And we know that now because we have all these points of view on our life. You get to take a look back and look at your personal Facebook account and your Dick Frost Facebook account, and you can go, oh yeah, this is all different. None of this is like real life. Like on the one side, none of this is real life, right?
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. It's pretty crazy how, you know, all that's going, you know, on the socials. I have you legitimately saved in my phone as Gord Top Tier Podcaster. So, you know, there's that.
retired podcaster now.
Yeah, retired podcaster extraordinaire. But no, man, I appreciate that. You know, I've been wanting to do a solo episode for a long time, right? And I read something on the thread. I'm on Threads a lot, and you know, Threads has been really good for, you know, you like one thing, that's all you see, right? And like for a long time there, it was like seeing shit that I didn't want to see. I'm like, well, why am I seeing this stuff? Well, that's because I interacted once, and that's how the internet works. But you know. Yeah. Yeah, so now I'm seeing a lot of podcasting stuff on there, and it was like, hey, here's something to think about. Do more solo shows. It doesn't have to be an hour and a half long, you know. It could be 20 minutes, could be 10 minutes. Look, there are podcasts out there that are 5 minutes long, and that's why they have like 200 episodes in a year, right? So yeah, and so, you know, I was thinking, yeah, I gotta do that. What do I talk about, right? And then I'm like, you know what's perfect to talk about? I just got back to work. You know, I suffered this injury, and you know, I got to experience this whole dynamic of my life that I never got to really experience, you know, working away in the oil field and just, you know, working away in general. And so the things that, you know, us blue collar guys, we miss out on a lot being away, right? And so, you know, I talked about it. Being a part of my daughter's parent teacher council was huge, right? I crutched in there, I limped in there, and then the last one I walked in there, right? And I'm like, hey guys, you know what? I'm back. And it was always a talking point. I love that. I love going there and talking to the other parents. What happened to your foot? Well, funny you should ask, right? But like, no, it was like, you know, it was like talking with the other parents and figuring out what's going on in our kids' day-to-day lives and watching my daughter just like, you know, come out of her cocoon and be go from this caterpillar to this beautiful butterfly in front of my eyes in just 4 short months. It was pretty incredible, man. So I thought, hey, for a first solo episode, I have plenty of material, right? I have plenty to talk about.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's important that you understand that this is new for you, right? There's so many people that live that life, but you can marvel in some of that stuff. It's okay because of, and you put a lot of your life out there. Like, there's people that have these, online personas that you don't know if they're married, you don't know if they have kids. Part of what the blue collar, makes the blue collar life so difficult, so that binds the community, is even the guys that don't work away, they're gone a lot, or the women too, the people that do this. It's a hard life. It's a lot of, everyone says, oh, I couldn't, push a wheelbarrow full of cement back and forth all day, or I couldn't climb a tree and cut the branches off all day. Motherfucker, you could. It's going to bed at night in the hotel that's the hard part of that job. Like, they don't pay me $35 an hour to move concrete. They pay me $17 an hour to move concrete and $17 for the hour that I sit in my hotel room, and you have to have that family piece of it to do it. And you're fortunate, your wife's willing to be a part of that. And you guys are capitalizing on it, where you can, without kind of selling your soul, which is something that, for a guy who's got 10 million view months and has the profile that you have, knowing you as well personally as I do, you haven't sold your soul, right? You're doing this right up to the line, and then you back off and you don't share everything. You have public and private, and you keep it to the point where everybody on both sides of it can respect what you're doing. And I think that's important to note. And it shows up when you do a solo episode and talk about going to the PTA meeting.
Dude, yeah, it's pretty wild that you wrapped it up like that. That was pretty good, man. You're right. I don't put everything all out there, right? And that's hard. It is hard, because what gets the views, what gets the likes? It's being relatable, right? It's putting my face out there and being like, hey, I'm here, and this is what I'm doing and going through, right? Without crossing that line, as you said, right? And getting too personal. And there's been a couple of times where I have gotten maybe a little too personal, and my wife's had to be there with the whip and be like, hey, none of that, right? Back the fuck off now. You leave that shit alone, and don't let everyone have access to you, right? My sister drove that point home real hard last October when she was here visiting. She's like, hey, everyone that messages you doesn't need a message back, right? There are guys like, Liver King, he's done it. Other people online, when they get messages, they don't message you back. They like it, they double click and give it a heart tap, so you know they seen it, right? And that's all you owe them, right? That's all you owe them. You don't owe them like a paragraph just because they wrote you one, right? And my wife and my sister, I credit them a lot for, reeling me in on that a little bit, right? And that's been a big part of, what I'm about, right? The community, the family side of things, right? This had, hey, the internet has actually, and I've said this a lot, had I had TikTok 10 years ago, oh man, I would have blew my life to smithereens, man. You know what I mean? Like, I was very maybe too out there. I was very crude in my jokes, and I can do a little bit of that now, but like, I said things I shouldn't have said, right? The TikTok, the guidelines, the community guidelines of the internet have actually helped reel me in and dial it in. I don't need to be the funniest guy in the room by going too far, right? Mm-hmm. I can, meet the funniest guy who's willing to take it over the line. Dougie Snakes, Uncle Hack, they're willing to take it to the line and then go over it as far as they can, right? I can meet them at that line and stay at that line and still laugh, and people can still be look at me and be like, yeah, that's funny too, right? And I love that. I've loved that I've come to recognize that too, right? That I don't need to be that guy.
Well, and the part that, and man, Dougie, if you're listening, I'd go to 161 if you'd ever answer my DMs. But like the part that jumps out at me is like how soft-spoken and intelligent Hack is.
Yep.
When he's Brendan.
Yeah.
And when he's Hack, I mean, that's who he is. That's how he makes his living. But it's just a persona. When you're talking to Brendan, like I remember right after I recorded with him, the Safeway person who, if somebody scored 5 goals that night, they won $1 million was Brendan Beauclair. And I'm like Uncle Hack shops at Safeway and he put his name in the draw and it got drawn so that if somebody at that Oilers game scored 5 goals, he was going to win $1 million. I was like, he's just a guy, man. You know what I mean? And like now his content is such where he shows the just a guy part of it a lot more. Like 3 years ago when I interviewed and he was just starting, he was a little more protective of that. I mean, he was always pretty open about it, but he'd gone from, you know, pro tip from a dipshit to Uncle Hack, and he was very protective of that process. And now like it's like, yeah, man, like you can get as mad as you want at him. By all means, protest his shows, do whatever.
He's going to capitalize.
He's winning. He's winning if you do that.
Capitalize on that. I absolutely love how he does that too, right? Like, oh, some of our shows got canceled. Oh, no. And this, you know what? Well, you know, this venue here didn't want us. We just, some other venue is about to benefit from that because you don't want us, but the club down the street does, you know, and that's, I fucking love that. I think it's funny.
Like if you owned a venue and you were getting pressure to cancel the Danger Cats, you have to weigh the fact that he's going to record the conversation when you phone him and he's going to play it on social media where you sound like an absolute limp dick sniveling pussy, pardon my language, to go, yeah, some people don't like you, so I'm canceling you. And whether or not you agree with his comedy or not is entirely beside the point. If somebody hears this and is like, oh, Gord, you're an idiot. You're missing the point. The point of the matter is that's what they do. There's clearly an audience for it, and they're not hurting anybody. Is it in good taste? Almost always no. Is it kind of pushing the line? Yeah, lots of times. Sorry, guys. Like, as far as I'm concerned, it's no different than the Catholic Church sending people to come around and knock on my door and talk to me. Like, I don't want it. I didn't ask for it. And I don't care about what they're saying. I find a lot of it offensive as well. But for one reason, one of them has tax exempt status. And the other guy was on the internet 10 years of doo-doo and pro tips from a dipshit. You know, it's like, give me a break.
Did you just compare Brendan to God?
I may actually, yeah, I did. And not Brett, maybe Sam. Sam, I would probably go to 161 if Sam shut down too. That TV show they did or whatever, I think it was Rebel News, who, you know, they have their own problems. But somebody did a half-hour show on those guys, and Sam Walker was talking about their picked and smoked hookers t-shirt. Yeah. Terribly, terrible, in terrible poor taste. Terrible. But he was like, we're talking about this case all these years later because we built that shirt. He's like, there's however many women missing that we're still talking about because of that shirt. So whether or not you want to focus on the fact that you think the shirt's in bad taste or that I'm sitting here on a national news show and I'm the one that brought it up and I'm the one that's talking about it. He's like, you can go and fight over that yourself. But he's like, I know how I feel. I know how I sleep at night. And I was just like,
yeah, oh. Hookery smoked meats.
Hookery smoked meats, yeah. Like, it was like, he was like, you know, he had time to prepare. He knew it was coming, all that stuff. But he came correct, in my opinion. And, you know, do I think the shirt is, you know, reasonable? No. But it's there. And they sold him out, right? Yeah. Hack just put something this week on. A guy wearing his black Trudy shirt got kicked off a plane in Halifax. Yeah. Like, give me a break. Like, it's a t-shirt. It's not hurting anybody. He's sitting over there. He paid way too much money for his little bit of real estate on that plane. Just let the guy get off the plane. Right? He's already in Halifax. Things aren't going that well. Let him get out of there.
He's in Nova Scotia. Things are not okay with him.
Man, yeah. I've never talked like this at all on any of my podcasts. I was like so vanilla, yeah. So white bread. I never, and now I'm saying things that it's a good thing I'm drinking like sports drink and not whiskey, because we'd be diving into the Hockey Canada verdict today.
Oh my God, bro. This coincidence that Hockey Canada verdict came down and Hulk Hogan died at the same time?
Well, I just want to say that if that much thoughts and prayers can't keep Hulkster alive past 71, the rest of us don't have a chance. I mean, Ozzy Osbourne lived that life and lived to 76.
It's the heroin. The heroin is the key to a happy life, you know?
Clearly. I don't know. I was shocked when I read about Hulk, but I was reading later on that there was a huge divide in his camp about it. Apparently he'd sponsored a sports drink or beer or something. I can't remember what it was.
I can't remember what it was called. It was Rebel or something like that.
But his marketing team was pushing him very, very hard. And like his inner circle was very concerned about how hard he was going. So it sounds like this might have not have come as such a surprise to everybody involved in Hulk's life. There's a great video on TikTok from a sports writer named Jeff Perlman, who was on the show, by the way, episode 67. And he talked about following Hulkster around Nashville in about 1994. He was there ahead of the weekend to promote whatever, you know, match he was doing. And they were going, he was following him around to all these radio stations, and he'd walk in and he'd be like, "Hey, how are you? I'm Terry." And they'd be like, "Hey, Hulk, how you doing?" He's like, "Hey, really good. Happy to be here." And he was like, just super on, like just regular, normal guy.
Yeah.
And then he'd be like, "Well, you guys want me to record anything while I'm here?" And they'd be like, "Yeah, would you do an intro for the show, like a breaker?" And like, he'd just snap into it. He'd be like, "Well, do you want me to do like Hulkamania, just Hulk Hogan? Like, how do you want it?" And they'd be like, "Oh, why don't you try one of each?" And on a drop of a hat, he'd be like, "Let me tell you, brother, you're listening to KSIN 97 in Nashville." And they'd be like, "Yeah, I don't know." And then he'd be like, "What are you going to do when KSN Nashville runs wild on you?" And they'd be like, "Yeah, that's the one." And then he'd just turn around and be like, "So, do you have any children? What's going on?" You know, and Perlman said it was like so, it was such an act. Like, you just knew that, and of course it always was, but when you're a kid, you don't know that, right? And then you see it happen in real life and you're just like, this guy's so talented. He can be Terry Bollea, you know, 23 hours a day, but when he has to be Hulk Hogan cutting promos and wrestling, he just turns a switch and he's Hulk Hogan, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Here's a good question for you. Do you think Hogan dying and also Ozzy is a cover up for the Epstein files not being shown?
I do not think that's I think these things happen in threes. And if I'm, because they've already taken an athlete and they've taken a musician, so if I'm Jack Nicholson's keeper, I'm putting that motherfucker on lockdown.
Dolly Parton hasn't been seen in 13 days now, so I'd be looking out for her. But also, we already got our third. The guy from fucking The Cosby Show died the other day.
Malcolm Jamal Warner. Bro, love Theo. Love Theo. He's not on Ozzy and Hulk's stratosphere. Although Dolly Parton not being seen in 13 days is not surprising, being that she's recently widowed and just cut a track with Motley Crue. She's holed up at Tommy Lee's mansion, finding out what it's all about. Guaranteed. Tommy Lee just got divorced. She just got widowed, and she just cut a remake of Home Sweet Home with Motley Crue. There is 0% chance. Put me on a plane. I'll find her by the end of the day.
maybe that's a conspiracy. Did Tommy Lee get divorced and her become widowed so the two could be together?
Tommy Lee got divorced because his wife tried to catfish Ronnie Radke from Falling in Reverse, and he went public with it all. That's why Tommy Lee got divorced.
Yeah. No, I saw that. Tommy, man, Ronnie Radke, man, like what? What an ugly dude. I think Ronnie Radke's not a very good looking dude.
They're like, it's 8:59 on the 24th Mountain Standard Time. By tomorrow morning, Ronnie Radke's coming for you. He's going to be in Saskatoon landing the plane. He's coming to get you. That motherfucker does not miss.
Oh shit, dude. I was gonna say, you and me, we've had a lot of the same guests on our show now, right? Like, you've had a lot. Yep. And one of my favorite that you've had that I've had is what the fuck's his name?
Kevin McNee.
Kevin McNee. I love what that dude's doing with creating the Ripple. You know, I love that guy's, like, his whole thing, you know. Actually talking to him last year when I was going through my shit and just didn't know it yet. You know, and then looking back at that conversation that we were all talking about, and you know, to now, like, I'm glad I had him on when I did and not, you know, today, right? Because I probably would have fucking just, I would have broke down, you know. Like,
yeah, he's an interesting guy. He's actually, there's a couple of people through podcasting that I've, like, made personal friends with, yourself being obviously one of them, and yeah. And Kevin's the other one, or the other main one, and we talk all the time. He's in, you know, Southern BC now. He lived in Fort Nelson, BC when he first came on, and he bought a house. Oil field service company had moved him up there. Things were booming in Fort Nelson. He bought a house, and 4 years later, he couldn't give his house away. So he was stuck up there. In his show, in the episode, he talks about getting divorced, and his wife moved to Grand Prairie, and he had these two kids, and it was a disaster. He was stuck up there, and he wanted to get out, and he'd had a lot of success in his life. And none of it made him happy. And he's just kind of surrendered himself to the world. I've known him about 4 years now, and he's done a lot of things that a guy with the success that he's had in his life would be very hard to put your pride aside and do those things. And he's in the pursuit of being a complete human, living a good life. And, you know, it's so rewarding when I talk to him, and he's genuinely happy. Right. He's got a new relationship. He's got a new group of people that he's, you know, creating this, I don't know, men's group, but it's more than a men's group. It's a way of life, really. And man, gives me goosebumps, to coin a term that he often says. It gives me goosebumps because it's just so cool to see a guy that had all the money and the big everything, and yeah, it went away, and he's still at peace with it all because he's doing it himself, doing it his way.
What he said on my podcast was he was laying in bed inside of his, like, $500,000 house while his $100,000 truck was parked outside, and he's got his wife next to him and white picket fence, and, you know, great job, $300,000 a year gig. And he's laying in bed. He's like, why the fuck do I feel so empty? You know, like, mm-hmm. He had what society has labeled as, you know, having it together and, you know, the very definition of success. And he just felt, like, completely gutted, you know, and that was huge. That was a huge moment.
Well, and it makes you understand that when you have those moments of doubt, you know, I'm sure you do very well, but $300,000 is a lot of money. So if you're, like, yeah, maybe chasing that other $50,000, $60,000, $100,000 isn't going to make me whole, isn't going to make me happy if it didn't make Kevin happy, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, so what am I truly trying to do? And, you know, I think if you go back and listen to that Han Solo cast that you released today, I think the answer's in there.
Dude, it is. It slaps you right in the face. And I was talking to my wife about this today, and I've had a couple conversations with my coworkers over the year, over the last week, I guess, not year. But you know why I left the vac truck, and you listen to that podcast, that solo podcast I did today, and the reason why I left the vac industry, that side of things becomes very clear, right? And we were talking about it, you know, everyone here, you know, we work 14 hour days, 12 hour days, 13 hour days. Sometimes we have a rain day. Right. And, you know, we all looked at our checks over, we're doing it more and more. We're looking at our checks and we're looking and we're like, fuck man, I worked 94 hours this week, but I worked 65 the week before, 70 the week before. And, you know, it's only like a $500-$700 difference. You know what I mean? Why? And then I miss a couple days and it's like a couple $1,000 difference. What the fuck is this? And I can tell you, I just want to work straight 12s or even less from now on. You know what I mean? Like anything more than a 12 is annoying to me. Right. And why? Because I can't get back to do a podcast with someone who they don't want to do a podcast at 9 o'clock. They want to, you know, between 7 and 8 is that okay time. Right. And this is what makes me happy. This podcast makes me happy getting off at a decent time and then, you know, calling my family, you know, and still having some time for them and whatnot. It makes me happy. The vac truck wasn't providing me that lifestyle no more, right? I was working 40-hour shifts. I was working, you know, 20-hour shifts, and I was gone a long time, right? And you know, I didn't know it when I left, but that was the issue, right? That created me a lot of problems, right? And you know, what I ended up doing this past winter in Fort Mac, that's what makes me truly happy. Every night at 7 o'clock, I know where I am. I don't have to be like, I wonder what I'm doing tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Am I gonna be working another 4 hours after that? Am I gonna be, you know? So you know, that's kind of sort of how my life has kind of evolved here in the last year or so, right? And more so since the whole internet journey here, you know, it's kind of, you know, I don't know how to say this, or I don't want to sound like I'm gloating or anything, but I had a conversation with my wife. My wife's a stay-at-home mom, and the internet, the money I've made on the internet has effectively replaced her entire salary or her income, right? So, like, we lost that income, right? And now I've got it back, right? I have to work, you know, all day at work and then, you know, put in time here. But, you know, like, that's crazy to me. That's crazy to me that I replaced my wife's entire income and she could be a stay-at-home mom comfortably, you know?
And, the part that I just need people to understand is how much work you do to replace that income. Like, if anyone thinks that 30-second clip that showed up took 30 seconds to make, 30 seconds to shoot, it came out with the music in the background. Even if you're good at editing, it takes time to put all that stuff together. And then you have to be on the social media platforms that you're posting to understand what the trends are, to understand what's hitting, what's going off, what's not anymore.
Yep.
And that's the part, like, you and I joke all the time when you'll tell me you had a good month for views and I laugh about, you know, whatever. But then we always talk at the end, like, can you believe that many people saw your face come up on their phone and they didn't scroll past it? Like, isn't that wild? You're just a kid from fucking Southern Ontario who goes out to work every day. And, you know, like I told you, I was out on that job about a month ago now, 3 weeks ago. And I got in their text group and their literal love language for anything that happened that day was sending a Dick Frost video. And they had no idea that I knew who you were. Like, obviously they were just like, hey, just like this. And you're having a, you know, something in a porta potty or whatever. And it shakes and it's like, ha ha ha, because we had this happen on location. And I was just like, that's wild to me, man. That's wild to me.
It's crazy, dude. I'm blown away. Man, I was in Hudson Bay, Saskatchewan last summer.
Condolences.
Dude, Hudson Bay, Saskatchewan. We were out eating some dinner out there, and the whole crew were all just sitting there. And buddy comes up. He's like, is that Dick Frost in Hudson Bay? And I'm like, what the fuck, dude? What are you, is this happening? And my whole crew's just like, oh yeah, here we go. You know, here we go again. Right. And like, it's funny. Cause it happens, you know, I'll be on site, and it happened on Snapchat today. I'm on site walking around and buddy is in his big rig and he's going by me and he's like, hey, there he is. Right. And I'm like, dude, you're on site. You're on the site I'm on. You think you're excited to see me? I'm excited that I know who you are and you're going by me. That's, you know what I mean? And he's like, yeah, I've gone by you a couple times this week. It's like, dude, that's so cool, man. Let's fucking stop and say hi. And let's shoot the shit, you know? And yeah, man, I think that's wild. You know, I think it's fucking just the whole social media thing is crazy, dude. I've said it 100 times. It's a wild ride, and I'll never ever, you know, not be grateful for the life it's provided my family and I, right? So,
and that's what I look at it. Not to make it about me, but I'm the fucking guest here, Dick. I'm just kidding, bro. But like, that's what I'm taking from this journey is on the podcast, man. Like I was so grateful that 160 times I reached out to somebody and asked for an hour of their time, and they said, sure, what's the worst that could happen? And you know, it's so fun to look back, you know, to scroll through some of the episodes, some of the ones from the beginning. And I was like, what was I thinking there? I could have done a much better job. Or, you know, the Kelly Rudy one, like it was so awesome to have Kelly Rudy on, but I would have done it different.
Him right now, I'm in talks with him. Man, he told me to get a hold of him after the season was done. I did. He read it. He said, just give me a little bit of time after the season. Right. Well, now we're getting into August here right away. Right. So it's kind of like, you know, we're going to get him on in August, you know, and dude, fucking, that's so, I'm so jealous that you got Kelly on already. And Caleb Dahlgren, man, I'm fucking, dude, I tried to get that guy on like a year ago, right?
So Caleb's the third humble bush cash survivor I've had on. I had Ryan Straz on before he was super big time. He was a big deal. I mean, he was who he was, but now the things he's done is incredible. And Tyler Smith, I had him on before him and his wife were on, or his fiance, I'm not sure if they're married, before they were on The Amazing Race. So I got him. So I waited until Caleb was done and convocated as a doctor of chiropractor to get him on. And, you know, it's like one of those things where you say, which one's your favorite out of those ones? Caleb, man, I have a good friend. He listens to every podcast. And he's like, his name's Jim Toothill, and he's the nicest man in the world, bar none, hands down. He's so nice that everyone thinks he's fake. Everyone thinks he's putting you on. He's not. That's just who he is. And Caleb was just like that. He's the most positive person I ever met. You know, we talked about how he's taken kind of his circumstances and pushed through to do all these things. And he talked about all the things he was doing before the accident in the Humboldt community, his Dahlgren's diabetes, because he's been type 1 diabetic since he was 4 years old and doing all that stuff. And the time he spent in all the communities, you know, he played hockey in Wilcox, Saskatchewan, which is just a hockey school in the middle of the prairie south of Regina. He played up in North Battleford, talked about the things that he did in the community there. And then he's in Humboldt playing, and you just walk away from it. You know, and I kind of invoked it a little bit in the intro to the podcast this week. But like, with what you see happening with Hockey Canada and all the question marks you have about the what's going on with that sport and the people playing it, man, go listen to Caleb Dahlgren talk for 15 minutes and you'll come away going, okay, as long as there's people like that coming up in the game, we're going to do all right. We're going to be in a good spot.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. I love that episode, man. And you know, one of your other episodes you had on, Mr. Marty up north, him and I are texting back and forth right now. I was texting him the other day. It was his anniversary recently, and he was out in the middle of the bush somewhere, and he was making it home for it. And he's like, after my anniversary, reach back out and I will set aside some time to come on. And I'm looking forward to that one, man. I really enjoyed his episode with you. I really enjoy his banter, his content on all over the social media. Him and I actually were set to do one. When was that? We were set to do one not long, a couple months ago, I guess, but Carbon Tax Carney did something, and he's like, man, I got to cancel on you. Big news coming out of the Carney camp, and I'm going to be on all these shows and all doing all this. And I'm like, you go do you. You go handle your business, and we'll reconvene at another time, right? So,
yeah, so huge respect for Marty. I think he's purposely disingenuous with about 99% of his takes for the sake of and same thing with Sean Newman podcast. Sean's a great dude. He quit his job as a chemical salesman so he needs to make money, so he needs eyes, and he says things that you know are demonstrably false or at least misleading to get eyeballs, and that's fine. Marty doesn't, I don't know that Marty says things that are demonstrably false. I just think he puts a sensationalism on it that, you know, him and I, at the time of the last provincial election, he was actually working for the company that I work for. He was consulting for us and doing some work, and we would have conversations and we'd talk about, you know, the candidates and then how things were going. And like, I've never not voted conservative in my life. I'm a conservative. That's just, you know, the things that I believe in mostly closely align with the conservatives. And I was just like, but like Danielle Smith is going to be an abject disaster. She's going to cakewalk to a win, but like she might be the dumbest human being in Canada. And he like jumped on me, like, and we were talking about work, like, you know, and like, technically he was like working for me. Right. I was like, oh, okay. It's going to be like this. And it was great because I have a lot of respect for Marty and he is a smart dude. And he's retired. He's 57 years old or 58. He's retired. He lives out in Bearspaw, made a lot of money in his life, did a lot of really cool things, really cool things. He has a lot of knowledge because of it. So you know what, however he decides to share it, that's good enough for me. I'll pay attention.
Ah, yeah, man. Marty's good shit in that accent, that French accent, you know?
Yeah.
It adds to the arrogance, right, of what he's saying, right? It's like, I'm like, man, I love it, you know? You're not an arrogant person, but what you're saying might be a little arrogant, and the accent adds to it.
Yeah, yeah, and he I give him a hard time because he's an engineer, and I think all of his sons are engineers.
Yeah.
And I've worked with engineers my whole career, and like, yeah, like I that ring means nothing to me. It's the person that's wearing it, and I'm able to suss that out, and I know that. Whereas he's far more like, if you can put in the time and do the work that it takes to get that ring, that says something about you, that, you know, that lets people know something about you. And, you know, to me, the quiet part loud is, yeah, that's not a good thing, Marty. He feels differently about it. That's cool. That's part of, that's one of the cool things about living in a place like where we live, is we get to have differing opinions on things like that.
Sorry, I keep moving around, man. I'm in Saskatchewan. It's tick season and they love me. All right. And I'm just like feeling things. And I'm like, man, I don't know what's going on here. Yeah. I'm fucking in the grass a lot, right? For on the road crew, putting signs out, hanging out around the gravel. Turns out ticks love the gravel. Right.
And
no. Yeah, man. And they love me. I actually had one on the bottom of my foot, embedded in the bottom of my foot last year. So now I'm checking everywhere. One of my coworkers actually had one on his testicle. And it was like, what the fuck? Like, if I ever find one of those things on my testicle, do I let it keep sucking or do I just start whacking? You know, like,
oh, man, that's like one of those no wrong or no right answer questions, right?
Get off of me. Yeah. And man, Lyme disease is like on the rise right now in Saskatchewan. And yeah. I don't want none of that shit. Right. So
Lyme disease in Saskatchewan and measles in Alberta. Right.
Yeah. Shout out to the measles, man. And, you know, you got to come for the full Alberta experience.
Right. We got more cases in Alberta than they do in the USA. So,
which is wild, man.
Things are going just fine here.
Yeah, we're fine. It's fine. Yeah. Everything is fine.
It's funny because every year of my life, I've summered in Saskatchewan and I've never had a tick ever.
Really?
Yeah, man. We used to be our lake place was just like two hours north of where you're at right now. And we were there for 8 summers, man. Even the dog never had a tick. We never found a tick anywhere.
Man. That's just, my dog had a couple on him. I pulled probably 2 or 3 off me a day last year. It was stupid. Yeah, we call me Justin Bieber, buddy, because Lyme disease is coming, right? So, we're both from Southern Ontario too. Who knew? hey, I have asked you before. Do you know what Lyme is? Not Lyme disease. Sorry, there's something crawling on the wall. It's an ant. Do you know what viscosity is?
No, Dick, I don't. Would you care to share it with me?
Well, according to you, I've been butchering the shit out of it for 2 years. So,
well, so viscosity in the in the what you're talking about with the mud man viscosity, the vis of it is just how long does it take a liter of fluid to flow through an orifice at the bottom of the funnel? It doesn't mean anything. It's the rheology of the fluid that carries the cuttings to surface. But in the oil field, it's the vis. What's the vis?
Yeah.
And every week I listen to your pod and you ask somebody the viscosity and you ask like the future mayor of Edmonton, the viscosity. And I get like secondhand embarrassment for you. I'm like, Dick, you didn't need to ask him that. Come on.
He gladly obliged. WD-40 or 10W-40, he said.
Yeah. That dude, man, if he's not the mayor of Edmonton, you guys are doing something wrong, man. Because he's going to keep Connor there for 10 more years.
Yeah, he's going to keep Connor there for 10 more years, and he plans on doing something about the potholes. Shout out to that. You know, he's dealing with the real issues at hand for Edmontonians, you know. And so, yeah, man, viscosity, brother, you know. Shout out to the Mudman for all your drilling fluid and laboratory testing equipment needs. So, hey. My man's got your back.
That's the best story about your podcast so far is a guy who signed on for a 4 or 6 show run, you know, 125 episodes ago, still here for the ride, helping you out when you need it. I think that's the coolest thing.
Dude, he does security. He lives around Calgary, right? And he does security for events too, right? And he was head of security or some shit for Pierre Polyev when Polyev was around at one point in time. Man, that guy texts me and he's like, man, I just asked Polyev's like assistant or whatever if maybe he would be interested in coming on your podcast, you know, because he talks to these guys a lot. And you know, Polyev's team answered back, well, hey, we'd love to, but, you know, we're short on time right now, right? And I'm like, man, could you imagine? Like, the fact that that was even a fucking possibility, that he was even made it to, I don't know if it made it to Pierre's ears or not, but the fact that it made it to his camp is crazy to me, right?
Well, and that's, like, I had Brad Wall on, and Brad Wall doesn't do podcasts. Like, he's done a handful of them. His son, Coulter, at this point, he was just recently on a show where he said, I'm better off not to do Rogan because Rogan mentions it every 3 episodes. So he's like, I get a guest star on Rogan's show every 3 episodes because I'm the white whale that won't come to Austin to go on a show. And, you know, Brad was like that. But I don't think Brad would have came on when he was active, but he's got nothing to lose now. He lives on a ranch in Swift Current and came on and he told me he'd give me 15 minutes. And I was like, yeah, I'll take it. We got 20 minutes in. I said, hey, we're at 20. Are you good? He's like, yeah, let's keep going. I'm having fun. So
I love that. Cool. Man. I love Diener said that to me. Diener's like, I'll give you a half an hour, 20 minutes or whatever. And then at the half hour mark, I even said, I'm like, hey man, I know we're running low on time. He's like, nah, let's keep it rolling, bud. You know, and I was, fuck. Okay, cool, man. You know, that's insane, man. And, you know, I recently reached out to, obviously, Liver King, but also Lorena Bobbitt, you know, like, fucking, she's as blue-collar as they come. She's a butcher, right? So that'd be badass to get Lorena Bobbitt on. She's all over the socials, you know?
What's she do now? Like, what's her angle?
Hold on, let me look at this here, man. I don't know what her angle is, but and her name's not Lorena Bobbitt anymore. It's Lorena, I can't remember what it was. Lorena something here. Lorena Gallo.
Oh yeah, Gallo
Seymour Foundation, a nonprofit and domestic violence advocate, educating and empowering lives. Well, living boldly, one adventure at a time.
Are you supposed to be advocating for domestic violence, Lorena?
This is her now. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Lorena Bobbitt, man. It's a wild time on to be on the internet. Yeah, man. We all have access to literally everybody. You know what I mean? And like, this is it. You know, I send messages out to some of the most bizarre people, and they get back to me. You know, so or they don't.
Yeah. No. Yeah, that's exactly how it worked for me. I was pretty guerrilla. I'd send 5 or 6 a day, come across somebody interesting, fire them a note, figure out the best way to get a hold of them. And yeah, I sent Paul Langlois' Twitter, Paul Langlois Band's Instagram, a note. And I got an email from Jake Gold, who I knew the name. He's been the Hips manager, you know, twice now for over 20 years apiece. And I was like, what just happened here? And he's like, yeah, what's going on? What do you need out of him? And I told him, and he's like, yeah, we should be able to make it work. What day works? I just phoned my wife and said, I'm going to interview Paul Langlois from Tragically Hip. And she's like, bring the milk home. Just get the milk home, Kylie. That's your job.
Yeah. I text Chris Barber and called Chris Barber today because I know that verdict's coming out, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know if he'll come on. I don't know what's going to happen there, right? I don't think he knows what's going to happen there. But I kind of want to get him on. If he's heading to prison, I want to get him on before maybe he has to report. I don't know if they take him right from the courtroom or if he gets to go home and, you know, do his thing, because it wasn't really a violent thing. But can I interview him? I probably won't get the chance to, right? If that ends up happening, because I'll probably be in a long line of people that, you know, are just trying to get the time. Right. So, yeah, I know I text him. So, you know, he read it and I respect that, you know, he read it and he's obviously very busy. So.
That's a man. Yeah. That's a tough one because I don't think it serves him any purpose to get his message out, but by the time he's sentenced, he's got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. He did a really good job for a long time staying out of it. I think it'll help him. It's a tough one.
Yes, sir. I don't want to take up too much more of your time there, brother. I only have, you know, one more question for you, and it's not going to go where you think it's going to go either, right? I'm switching it up a little bit today. You know, your definition of success, how has that changed, you know, from the beginning of your podcast, you know, midway through your podcast, maybe, you know, the evolution of that and to now, you know, like, what did, you know, I don't know, fuck, what are you, 46? What did fucking 43-year-old Gord or 42-year-old Gord's definition of success look like? And then what does, you know, 46-year-old Gord's definition of success look like?
That's a great question.
I got it from a really good podcast.
I appreciate you saying that. So I've had this, you know, I asked this question 160 times. So I've had different visions of it in my head. When I started, I was in a, I don't want to say I was in a dark spot, but I was in a different spot. And I kind of had some goals I wanted out of this podcast. I wanted to hear myself interact with people. I wanted to understand why sometimes maybe I wasn't always perceived the way I thought I was. And I started to have some success with that right away. And then I started to have some success with the pod. And success at that point probably would have been like getting paid for it. Up until about episode 60, I pushed really hard with some podcast networks. Talked to some people that, you know, were able to like right size your show to the right advertisers. And it didn't cost me anything. Like if that person was willing to pay, you know, 25 cents per hit, and I could give them three where I would read them and they would pay 25 cents per listen or whatever. The intermediary would just take 5 cents of it. And I never had to put anything out. I would just get a check or whatever. And then I started to get a couple people on. I had Olivia Hartley on early, where her story was about, she's a high-end call girl based in Victoria. And I was like, man, is it ever nice that I don't have to talk to anybody about this? I can just put it out. And so then I kind of got, I don't know what the right word is, but okay with not making any money off of it and just doing it for myself. And Liam was helping me. That really, like, now that he's not here, I can say that really meant a lot to me that he was willing to do that with me. And I felt that was a real vision of success. I was doing it. And then I started to get some pretty high profile guests on, or what I thought were high profile guests, you know, Natasha Stanishevsky, Tara Sloan, you know, people that have Scotto, Kelly Rudy, like people that everybody in Canada knows. And that was successful. And then it got to the point where I was like, I felt like I was doing it
not necessarily for the right reasons anymore. I backed off and went to every 2 weeks, and it just became, the parts that always were work just became too much work to carry on with it. And that's kind of why we've arrived at where we're at. So I don't know if that's like the, you know, I always said that if anybody asked me that question, my answer would be, I want to be successful enough that Fridays and Sundays don't feel like Friday and Sunday anymore. Right. You know, you don't feel like, it's the last day before the weekend and, oh crap, I got to go to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
But like, why would you ever want to lose that Friday feeling? Like, isn't the price for Friday feeling as good as it does is that Sunday kind of feels like the way it does. And I'm kind of like, okay, if I never get rid of the Sunday feeling, that means I still have my Friday feeling. You know, my kids are healthy, happy. My wife still, you know, loves me and we have a great relationship. I have 160 episodes that are on the internet that nobody will ever be able to take away from me. I do it all the time where I, you know, where you have to say a couple of things about yourself and, you know, maybe a truth and a lie. And I'll say I hit two holes in one in the same round of golf and I have 150 episodes of podcast on the internet. And nobody's ever guessed that I have the podcast is the true one.
You're a middle-aged white dude. Everyone right? has a podcast. Every middle-aged white dude has a podcast.
They it's fun. It's cool. Like my coworker of mine, her cousin golfed in the Masters, the U.S. Open, and the British Open this year. He plays golf at San Diego State University, and he made it as an amateur. And she's like, "Do you want me to ask him if he'll come on your podcast?" And I was like, "Yeah, if he wants to talk, sure, that'd be great." If I didn't have my podcast, Justin Hastings wouldn't be in play to come on my podcast because I don't have it. You know what I mean? Like, I just get these cool little opportunities. I talk to people and they find out that I have a podcast. I had Jim Kressman on. He's like a music promoter out here. He's out of Penticton or Vernon or something like that. And he's got like, he promotes Ringo Starr and Slayer and Jess Moskaluk, and he's Brett Kissel's manager. Like, I get to talk to him about these people coming on my show because I have a show. And that, I don't know, I feel pretty successful, man. I'm awfully proud of my body of work. And I'm like really stoked that it's there and it's out there. And I told people I was going to do it. I sat on the idea for a couple of years and then I went and I did it. And man, that's success to me.
That's beautiful, man. You know, that's really is incredible. And, you know, I owe it to you. You know what I mean? I don't think you were the first podcast I was on, but you were like, you know, Chase Barber had this big platform and was doing something with it. And, you know, I was on his, and, you know, not saying you're a nobody, but like, you know, you're lesser known, right? You're lesser known.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Some guy named Gord from Langdon, Alberta was like, "Hey man, you want to come on my podcast?" And I'm like, "Fuck yeah, man. I'm always down to go on a podcast. Let's go." Right. And, you know, I just, you know, I can't ever appreciate enough, you know, that like somebody, you know, outside of, you know, doing it for, you know, you still did it to attract people to your podcast, which is the name of the game. But like, you know, somebody outside of, especially at that time, I didn't have that big of a following or was, you know, I was still, you know, growing. I still am growing, but I didn't have that big of a following. And someone that, you know, outside of the social media realm was willing to like, "Hey man, I want to talk to this guy," you know? And that's huge for me, man. That meant a lot. So thank you.
Nope. Thank you for taking me along for the ride, because you know, your show's much bigger than mine and your social media following is much bigger. I can't begin to imagine and count the times that you gave me shout outs on your show, and I appreciate it every single time.
I think every episode.
It's a lot, and I appreciate it every single time. Even if I don't text you when I hear it, I try to, but if I'm driving or something, I can't, and I forget. But it's, you know, it's friendships and meeting people like you that make it all worthwhile. I mean, we've never actually met in person, but, you know, but you're probably in the last 3 years, you're probably in my top five of people that I text, right? Like, that's just, the nature of having somebody who you call me for advice. I call you for advice. We talk about things. And I'd have never had an opportunity to do it if I hadn't have went, welcome back to the Second Act Podcast that first time, right? So what a fortuitous stroke of luck that was for me.
Wow, man. That's incredible. The way we look at it, you know, I'm looking at it from one angle, you're looking at it from another angle, and you know, we're just coming to the same place together. We're both grateful and full of gratitude, but like just our outlooks on it, right? Like it's pretty wild, man. Man, I appreciate your time, man. And you know, that's it. That's all, I guess, you know, like that's pretty sad for me that, you know, for the final time, you know, it's not going to be the last time you're on my podcast. Don't. But like, man, I don't want to end it. I don't want it to end, you know, and I did say it wasn't going to be a final episode of the Second Act Podcast until Liam was on there. And you guys got one more, you know, sort of drop you're doing before that's it. Yeah. But Yeah.
We'll get a drop in where we talk a little bit about it and the reasons why we're going to take a step back. And I don't know how many people will care, but there will be enough that I'm going to put the effort in. You know, I do have some people that if I just did a Houdini act, that would be very, in my opinion, very disrespectful to the people who have been along for the ride. So.
Yeah, man. Absolutely, brother. Man, thanks for coming on, Gord. And you have a not a good life. It's not the last time we're going to talk, but like, no. Thanks for everything.
Well, thank you, Dick. It's been an incredible run with the podcast, meeting people, and the opportunity to come on this, be a part of this, what you're creating is I'm grateful for it every day. So thanks.
Thanks, man. Hey, bro, stay frosty.
Stay frosty.
Stay frosty.